You have entered trailertrash.wordpress.com. So crack open your Pabst Blue Ribbon and let's party.
Make me paranoid, baby.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
He got a beautiful bench, man.
Dad! Oh, he got all of that one.
Damn! We're in a tight spot!
Just one moment, please. All systems are functional.
I'm getting more work, so it's like, why go?
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
You want to open the show?
Yeah. Should I open it again?
Yeah. Well, this is Monday, so you don't really have anything to plug, do you?
I mean, besides my boner and some butts, I got nothing really to plug. Once again, I'm Alex Perlman, and you're listening to the Trailer Trash Podcast with Mike Bauer and Garrett Smith. You can find Garrett at Philadelphia with an F, because Philadelphia is the only area where if it starts with an F, they might spell it with a PH. Right. Fuck you, world. So, Philly's funniest with a PH. Yeah, he dick spell check. My fucking phone thinks I'm an idiot because I autocorrect for how many things I've had to change.
Because of Philadelphia?
Because of Philadelphia things that they name it after, just the dumbest shit. But, we were talking about open mics, and then we cut back to this, and then we're gonna watch a trailer, and then we're gonna talk about that, and it better not suck as much as Jack the fucking Giant Slayer. And if any of you didn't take my advice and break up with your girlfriends and go gay, good for you. Shouldn't take my advice. I'm an anonymous voice on the internet. I'm just a voice. What are you fucking, why are you basing your life off of me? I've made so many mistakes. So many. Thank God abortion's legal. Fucking, ugh. I would have had that hippie's baby. That's how I would have won. It totally would have happened.
I would have had that hippie's baby.
I love the laughs that you're getting out of Garrett. These are laughs I've never heard before.
Oh, yeah?
This is our 34th episode, and I haven't heard any of these laughs.
This is the 34th? Oh, I see. You wrote 33 in the last one.
34 episodes.
Yeah. If you guys are wondering how this podcast is recorded, I was going to say shot, but we're kidding. We are sitting next to an ironing board with a purple cloth on it, because it's almost Lent, and there's a big, scary dildo mic in the middle of the room. It's butt pluggish.
I love that you gave it so much props in the last episode, and now you're just taking it back.
I'm terrified by it now, dude, because it's starting to sleep. It looks like Rorschach's face staring at me, and it says blue, and it's not blue. Like, at least dye it blue, like something. I don't know. Blue company.
It's also called a snowball, and it's silver.
Yeah, it's a snowball, it's blue, but it's silver. Fucking what? You fucking lying pieces of cocksuckers.
Hello, and welcome to Trailer Trash, your tri-weekly podcast, now weekly for right now. Today is Monday, February 18th, 2013. This is episode 34 of Trailer Trash. I am your host, Mike Bauer. Joined with me, as always, is
Garrett Smith.
Hi, Garrett.
Hello.
How was Tight 6?
Tight 6 was really great, you know, great every week. We just talk about these things like we've already done them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm still reeling from the news this weekend. I mean, wow, what news?
Yeah, I know, right?
Dude, I couldn't believe that famous person that we don't really remember died.
Yeah, I know.
It was incredible. I mean, it's such a breath of work back in the 40s. I mean, it was the 40s. I don't know. I was reading it on Reddit. It was on R Movies. They're like, you might remember him. I was like, oh, yeah, that guy. Fuck. What a crazy life he lived. You know he's gay? I didn't. I mean, I had a feeling.
Rock Hudson died?
No. He did a while ago. Not of AIDS, though. Because if he died of AIDS, then Reagan would have had something to empathize with, because he was friends with Rock Hudson.
Yeah.
That's literally how they changed Reagan's mind. They're like, hey, have your friend die of it.
There's actually a movie coming out that I wanted to see that talks about it. I watched a trailer for it. It was about that whole Reagan era and the guys that
sucked.
Well, it was like the gay community coming out and like wanting help with like the AIDS epidemic, because he's like, oh, it's a disease that we had that we don't have a cure for, so why aren't we putting more money towards it? Almost 40% of gay Americans at the time had it because it was huge in the 80s. I think it's died down a lot recently.
Well, and there was less gay people then.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean,
like,
they
there was like six and four of them had it.
No, I mean, there were...
the two other ones are like...
I want to let you know right now the percentage on that is way off. Then if you're like 40%, then 10.
Yeah.
There was 10 of them in four. No. Yeah. No, I mean the thing is people are out more now and they're more accepting of it. You didn't have as many openly gay people back then. And the ones you did... You were like, well, they're different.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those crazy ones because I thought I was gay for a while, and that was a weird time for me. It's like 2 years. I thought I was gay. I was on stage. I was the gay comic. I was out there just blowing dudes, fucking women. It was weird. You know when you're gay, women talk to you.
Yeah.
They'll just talk to you. Just straight up. They're like, wow, look at you, person. Like, it was crazy. It was an amazing time.
Are you positing that you got more pussy when you were gay than...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so much more.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
That's why it was because you wrote that in one of the articles you're talking about, like how Todd Glass came out on the Mark Maron show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like Todd Glass is like my favorite comedian ever. And he's been doing this thing now that he won't say that he's gay. He just comes out and he's like, well, this is my view. This is who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I shouldn't have to say that I'm gay.
Yeah,
I'm just an American and it's my choice.
No, I agree with him on that.
And he's completely cool about it. But recently he's been posting on Twitter and he's just going back and forth as how much he loves pussy. And it's just been pussy jokes.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing this. It's so funny.
And it's just like violent tweets about it. And he goes, oh, my God. Last night I did this show and afterwards I just ate so much fucking pussy. And that's his tweet. And then people tweet at him about the same thing. And it's just been like this whole thing. And he lost so many... like followers of his because they thought that he was just like this whole thing. He's like, no, it's a joke. Like,
he
talked about it on the show, and he's like, I just like posting pussy jokes. It's just like, the funniest thing is because he is gay, but you wouldn't be able to tell like if you just
But I think the thing is like I thought I was gay because I don't know, I was watching gay porn and I liked it, and then this is 2004. I didn't know that you could like all of them. I didn't know that was.
You thought you had to make a choice.
No, that's kind of. I mean, Bush was president. There was a war I didn't want to go to. I was like, you know what they don't like? They don't like me. If I walk in, I'm like, hey, you know, like back in the what was it when they had the draft? You'd have like guys in underwear standing around. I would just stare at the dude in front of his ass and got a boner.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know fucking why it's not gay. I mean, like, you help with that? Like, that's how I would go with it. And then they'd be like, get out of here. And then I'd go, have fun in the dying for oil. Like, that was my whole idea. But no, it wasn't. I mean, I'm bi. Like, that's how it is. But I think basically on, like, the Kinsey scale, I think of myself as 30% gay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm catty. I turn to a real bitch when I drink wine. I like women with short hair. And every now and then, like, I'll be watching a porno. I'll be like, hey, she's not sucking that dick right. I could suck that dick better. And, one of the questions we had online is, you go ahead and ask it. It was from Steve Miller.
Oh, Steven, he wanted to know how tight a bisexual's poop hole is.
Oh, or, I think he said my bisexual poop hole. But very. Because I have a hemorrhoid right now. Like, to be completely honest, it's frightening. It's never happened before, and it itches. You know what's fucked up? And so I had to go buy Preparation H, and I talked about it on Twitter. I even said this on Twitter. I said I am more afraid to buy Preparation H from a place that sells it than I am to talk about this on Twitter. And that's how fucking dumb my brain is now, where like because I don't want to see the because I live behind a Walgreens. Mm-hmm. I live actually behind a Walgreens and a Rite Aid, and depending on which one was weirder last time is how I pick. A lot of like people trying to buy Winston cigarettes on their access card, which is the food stamps credit card they give you, and the guy's like, it's not a food, and they're like, it's a food, and I'm like, no, it's an appetite suppressant. And so I finally was gonna go late night because the 3 a.m. people don't give a shit. They're doing stock and meth and they don't care. And I didn't die there. I bought it at Costco with my parents. I bought a giant fucking huge thing. I was like, well, this is my life now.
Yeah.
And it was a toothpack, so I could leave one at my girlfriend's and one at my home. Because I don't know. It's just itchy. And I'm like, do I need to shave my asshole? Like, do I go to a person about this? Like, I don't know. And hashtag sucking assholes, guys. That's still going to be raining. I love how I'm still opening it with... oh, by the way, Dives Bar show at 947 East Passyunk was amazing. I want to tell you, I was so blown away by the comics and talent that showed up. You know who you are. So it was just so awesome. It was on Friday, and it was... Mwah, happens every third Friday at the Dive Bar show. Because they didn't cancel me. Because it was so good. The show was not canceled. But, the bye thing, though, I just want to, because sometimes people get confused about it. And basically, I thought I was really gay, and I was honest about it. And I got up on stage, and it made me kind of fearless of any audience, because right. It was a time when people had really dragged. My mom thought I was going to hell. She loved me for me.
Yeah.
But she was like, you're going to hell.
Because
she was raised Southern Baptist. She's Episcopalian now. And like now her ideas have changed somewhat. She still thinks I'm going to hell now because I'm an atheist. But she's happy because I have a girlfriend. Yeah. She might get grandkids, but she's not gonna. I thought about having kids, though. I thought about that. But because they're joke machines.
Yeah, they are.
They really are. Like, you know, Sydney Gantz. Yep. Dude,
killing it with this.
Sydney has become a much nicer person. Oh, really? Ever since he had a kid. Well, I've known Sydney for years now, and like I really enjoy being around Sid now. Mm-hmm. A lot of reflection between us because we've known each other for a while. But there were some times where I just didn't really like hanging. He knows it. I didn't really like hanging around him.
Yeah.
But now that he has a kid, it's like, yeah, dude. Like, he clearly is like, I need to do this, and like I need this. And he's got a kid at home, and he's looking at the kid and like, oh man.
Yeah.
So part of me was like, once he had a kid, I was like, I should have a kid, and I could just fucking just write how I hate him. Work for Louis. You know?
It does.
What are we talking about now?
Well, I wanted to go back to the open mic thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this was from your city paper.
Oh, shit.
your
interview. Real quick about that city interview, I want to say one thing about it. I was written by a friend, Ryan Carey, and we did a 45-minute... I told you this before we recorded this. We did a 45-minute phone interview. Half of it while he was driving home. And he came home and he wrote a bunch of notes from it. And, like, that's why it's the most rambling, psychotic thing you've ever read. Because it was just me. It was the middle of the day. I had just woken up at 4 in the afternoon. I sleep late. And I was just pacing around. I'm pretty sure I was hungover. It was right before I met my girlfriend. I didn't really know. I was just so happy to finally have a credit. Something as seen in the with it city paper blog. Like, not even I didn't even get in the free newspaper. I was in the fucking free newspaper's free website. And it was the greatest moment of my life.
I got an interview in the Metro for a show that I put on with my other blog, and they did the date wrong. So like the whole show that I was promoting was on 4/20. Tickets were $4.20, and they put it on the 22nd. And I was like, you fucking assholes.
Ugh.
And he's like, I owe you one. I was like, no, you don't owe me shit. I don't want to talk to you guys anymore. You guys do the fucking Metro.
How do you fuck that up?
That was the whole gimmick of the thing. That's why he was talking.
Did he say it was $4.22?
It was $4.
Yeah. Was it called the 4/20 show?
It was just 4/20. It was just Folky Philly Presents 4/20 at the Fire. And that's the title of the show.
Yeah.
And that was in the paper.
I like the Fire. Yeah. I've done stuff at the Fire.
Yeah
we actually had a really good time there.
Just did your live show thing, right?
We are going to do that eventually, but we can't do it at the Fire.
Oh, really? Why not?
Because of our PBR sponsor. And I don't want to burn any bridges there. They don't sell PBR, and they don't want to have PBR in the bar.
Okay.
So PBR will sponsor us and give us beer and stuff for the show.
Okay.
I want to be able to utilize them.
Well, I got a connection at the Dive Bar, huh?
Oh.
You can smoke and drink.
Yeah. I'm into that. Yeah, let's talk after.
Have you guys seen that? Have you guys been to the upstairs Dive Bar? Small. Yeah, I've been upstairs. Dan.
Well, we were there on Friday.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
I was at the Fire actually.
Yeah. I'm fucking bullshit these people.
Well, I went to see the show, the Fire.
Yeah, that's fine.
Your buddy, the rapper.
Oh yeah, Reef of Lost Cause. Great guy. Follow him on Twitter too.
Yeah. So what I wanted to get to is in the interview.
Oh yeah, in the interview.
In the interview.
I'm a tangential comedian. I'm a mathlete.
Though the one question was, it was actually in the first question. It said, how would you say you've grown as a comedian over the years? In that response, you wrote something that actually like kind of stuck out.
And okay. Probably because it's insane.
No. She said, it was easy not to burn out early because there weren't as many open mics.
No, there wasn't.
So here's my question to you is like, do you feel or see the potential burnout amongst new comedians in the scene with how many mics there are? That I've started in the past 6 months because in this time since I got into the comedy scene, I've seen 5 open mics start,
yeah,
and there wasn't that before because there was like Raven, Helium, and
No J,
Yeah, Noche last on Fairmount.
Yeah.
But then now there's tight six.
I'll tell you the biggest fear, I don't think, I fear for the host burning out.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that happens is when you run a show, you stop concentrating on your own. That's the reason I the dive bar, I've had this monthly mic and it's ending. Because there's now so many Wednesday mics.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I started it, I put it on Wednesday because there was no Wednesday mic, and now there's five.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm canceling mine. I hate running a mic because the thing is, when you run a mic, you're not going into it as a comic anymore. You're going into it as a show producer and as a host, depending on whether or not you have guest hosts on.
Right.
Yeah. So like with Tight Six, it's just the six of them rotating, mm-hmm. Each time. And that's, Ryan Shaner and those guys run into that same thing over at Raven. And I've seen it with guys before, not going to mention Brian Fennell's name. it's true. Like, Brian's gotten to a much better comic since Noche ended, because he was literally just concentrating on running Noche.
Yeah.
And, like, keeping that and trying to get audience in there. And there's so much to running a good mic, because a lot of people, the thing is a lot of Philly comics, especially the new guys, don't seem to understand, which is, if you go to New York, you go to Albuquerque, where I was just in Albuquerque, you go to Chicago. If you're not at a club, there is no audience at a mic.
Right.
It's just comics
staring
at you. So they don't understand what it's like to not have people there, because all of these mics have always, Raven's always had people at it, because they promote the shit out of it.
Yes.
Or at least they did before. They've been trying to get back it again.
They're
starting to promote it back again. But when Foley and Cotton and Conrad ran it, they were fucking out flying Rittenhouse Square and just hitting the areas and going to place. Anytime they saw a line, they handed flyers out.
Mm-hmm.
And Tight Six does that.
Yeah.
And you're constantly flying. So, like, you don't. The thing for me, when I run them monthly, and it would be like, I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh, fuck the mics tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I'd show up, like, I hope no one shows up, because you don't want to run it. Because
we had that Twitter thing going. It was a couple Wednesdays ago, and I went to the Liberties mic just because it was closer and it was cold.
Yeah.
It was really cold, and it was the same night as the Not Jazz.
Yeah.
And I said, come out to Liberties to check it out if you're in the area. And then you wrote me. You said, come down to the dive if it's not too cold out. If you don't, I'm just going to Not Jazz. Like, you just, like, basically said, like, I just want to leave.
And then I had 10 comics show up, and we had a good time. When I run my mic, I openly say throughout the entire show, this mic is practice.
Yeah.
There's barely any audience. There's, like, four people sitting at the bar on the second floor. There is nobody there. And my whole point of it is, this is practice. This is the area to get comfortable on stage. And also, I want to teach comics, or at least show them, because it's a conversational style up there.
Yep.
And that's the best way to do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're a writer and you're writing fucking everything, you still want to deliver it. You don't want to deliver it like an orator. You're not fucking Cicero. You're getting up and you're telling a thing, and that's how the best comic. I mean, Dave Chappelle's whole style is, almost like he's telling it to you. He's telling a story to you. You know, Bill Cosby was a story to you, with you. And so that's the basis of crowd work too. Crowd work is drawing someone into a joke that you may have pre-planned or something you don't. As to the question about comics burning out, the one thing you have to be careful of for newer comics, I feel, is to know when to not go to a mic just because it exists.
Yeah.
Go because you have something you're working on, because you maybe because you just want to see your comedy buddies, any of that stuff. But there's every now and then during now, this is mics, not book shows. Sometimes you have nights where you just don't want to fucking do it, and you go. And you do it, and it sucks because you're in a bad mood. The crowd gets into a bad mood because you're in a bad mood. You're angry they don't instantly love you. It goes back and forth, and it literally creates a self-perpetuating fucking spiral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's also what happens with guys who run the show. They don't want to fucking be there.
Right.
You know, the crowd, it happens to the crowd. It turns the crowd a bit. They get aggravated, and now they're fucking... Now you have to have comics or people walking up to them and be like, no, it was fine, blah, blah, blah. This happened, and it becomes this thing where they get known for that.
Right.
And so what I do is about once every 3-4 months, I take a full week off from mics. I just take a whole fucking week where I just don't go. Or if I do go, I don't perform.
Mm-hmm.
Or I go to shows. I remember what it's like to be an audience member.
Yeah.
Because I think often we forget about that. It's so much about us that we forget. I'm like, when I first started, my tag for my act was, I am Alex Perlman, angry gay Jewish hate fuck comic. That's what I went by, and I expected to get booked and paid for that. And it's like, I expected people, I'd get up and be like, yeah, I want dicks in my asshole and fuck George Bush and the Chinese are taking over. Like, that's how I would get up on stage, and I expected money and praise and accolades, and free drinks. And the thing is you sit in a show, when you sit, especially when you sit in a bad show.
Yeah.
You sit there and you're like, oh, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And then you learn the lessons that those people aren't learning because they're on stage. And then when you go to a good show, you're like, oh, I remember the most inspirational thing I ever saw. Parliament Funkadelic live in Atlantic City at the House of Blues. Out walked George Clinton in a gray sweatsuit, dick swinging, 70-some years old, after like 2 years prior been arrested for crack possession.
Right.
He came out and just fucking flashlight. He didn't even give a shit. Yeah. But he moved just enough to get the crowd going. The whole band's going too. But by the end of the show, it's naked white women on stage. And yeah. I was like, that's how I want to be all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, here's a guy addicted to crack, fucking old as shit, destroyed his body, can't fucking remember anything but his own songs. They're Parliament songs, so they're not that difficult. And, like, here he is fucking still giving it 100%.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, like, you know, you learn how to fake emotion and stuff like that. And it's you have to be careful. It's just when you need to take a little break, take a little break. That's the biggest thing. And it's if you want to go do fucking 11 mics, you know, do 55 minutes every week, that's great. Do it, you know. But don't fucking lie to your friends and call them shows. They're open mics.
Yeah. Well, it was like
I fucking hate those people.
I forget who said it.
I'm that person.
No,
sometimes.
I know. No, but I literally
realized that recently. Like, oh, I say things like, I'm a comedian. I'm doing a show.
Yeah.
No, I'm not any of those things. And
But the thing is you're allowed that for the first 3 months.
Okay.
Like, for the first couple months, you're kind of allowed that because we trick you into thinking of it.
Yeah, we
do. And we promote it. Free comedy show. It's a mic.
Yeah.
You know, we're ready for the show. It's a mic.
Yeah.
Next comedian. It's some guy.
Yeah.
Like, we fucking, that's, you have to perpetuate that fucking idea. Yeah, to get people to be enjoy it.
Well, because me and Garrett had different ways of looking at that. It's like when I started writing comedy, it's like I can't, like I played in bands and we did open mic nights as bands and stuff like that. And then we're like, when we started getting shows, I was like, oh no, we'll just play the shows. We won't do open mic nights. But now when the band I'm playing with now is we'll just do an open mic night for the fuck of it, just because we know everybody there, so we'll just show up and have a good time and just like it's more so just to hang out. But like, Garrett will go, he'll go out to, like, he'll go out a lot, like, during the week, is I'll choose one night and go out and decide then if I want to perform or not, just depending on, like, what I'm feeling. It's like, I can't go up on stage if I don't feel comfortable with myself at that time.
Yeah.
And my jokes they're vulgar. They're, like, very low. I have to be in a persona for it. So I have to be super happy before I can go on stage to do that because I have to bring myself down.
Yeah.
And if I'm already down or, like, just miserable, and I'll show up and I'm like, nah. And then, like, a bunch of people are like, are you going up tonight? I'm like, nah, I don't feel like it. Yeah. And then they're like, why don't you just go up? You have to go up. And I'm like, I don't want to go up. Don't pressure me.
No, exactly. Like, but the thing is, a lot of people are, they want to be, you know, they want to make it.
Yeah.
In comedy, and in the best way to fucking
already made it.
Yeah.
This is the persona that I have.
Yeah.
It's like, killed it at our bar one night, like I said before, putting the show up there.
Yeah.
That's me. I destroyed.
That's
fine. I did what I had to do. I got people to laugh.
But you know what? That's I look at that the same way with karate. I did karate for years, and you had some people who were black belt chasers.
Yep.
They would get their black belt, fucking leave. They were done. They moved to another school. They would go do something else.
It's just a hobby for them.
It's just a hobby for them to reach a goal. Yeah, they want to reach a goal. I mean, I look at comedy as there's in the open mic world, there are six weekers, six monthers, and then you have 6 year guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's how it really goes. And then you have lifetimers. I mean, that's how, because I've met people, like when I first came back to Philly a couple years ago, I met a few younger comics who were, and people didn't know how long I'd been doing it because I hadn't been around in a while. Mm-hmm. And I met like a few younger guys, just, let me take them under my wing and like help them and like help them write jokes and all that stuff. And then they would get booked to one show and quit.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Or they would do something and they hit the goal they were reaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their whole thing was, you know, to get comfortable talking to people, get comfortable public speaking. Those people exist.
Mm-hmm.
They take improv classes and comedy classes all the time, all over the world.
Yeah.
And then you have these 6 monthers who are just trying to get to a certain level or to a certain level of respect. They either hit it or they don't, and they quit. Mm-hmm. Or life changes. You know, they finally get a new job. They finally, this happens. And then 6 year guys, they usually end up ending around 6 years or around that time because they've gone through a transition. They usually get married, have kids, get a promotion, all that different stuff. And so they will come out every few months. They'll get booked to a show and do the same act from last year, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have guys like, you know, like me who just know this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. I mean, this is, I don't want to be a fucking actor or anything else. Like, I, you know, Mitch Hedberg had the joke, like, yeah, oh, you're a comedian. Do you act? Oh, you're a chef. Do you farm? Yeah. Like, that's fucking, it's a perfect joke.
Yeah.
But that's why I got into this. I got up to stand up in front of people. I'm like, I didn't even get into this to do podcasting.
Yeah.
Right. I had a podcast. I like doing it, but it wasn't stand up. Mm-hmm. I want the reaction of the crowd.
Yeah.
Because I feed off that. Mm-hmm. Because my dad didn't hug me enough.
Well, that was like the whole thing. Is the reason why I started doing, like, me and Garrett went in on a pledge to do, like, we're gonna go on and do comedy, do stand up. Like, I love, like, I'm a comic enthusiast. Like, yeah. I love comedy, like all aspects of comedy. When it comes to stand up, to skits, improv, like I love everything. I support everybody that I see, and I'm friendly with everybody, and I think that's why I'm better than half the people that I see. Just because
you're a nicer person.
Because I'm a nicer person.
Therefore, you can have a bigger ego. Because you fucking psychopath. You were such a stand-up comedian. Oh, I listened to his shit, so now I can talk about it. That's me on Twitter during open mics.
Exactly.
Have you seen my Twitter during open mics? I literally just sit there and just badmouth the people.
Yeah.
Oh, it's at Alex Perlman. I don't do it as much anymore. I've tapered it back a little bit. But sometimes I just sit through it. I'm like, how do you ever think this is fucking funny?
Yeah, but I'm the kind of person. It's not me being like a. I'm just the kind of jokester as like the. I'm funny in a group of people. Like I like being like in a crowd. Like like being up in front of somebody and trying to. That's why I like doing this podcast. Is because I get to talk to people like one on one, and I can say stupid shit like that, and it gets people to laugh.
Yeah.
And then like, well,
it just gets me to yell. Yeah. that's my version of laughing. Yeah.
But no, because I respect everybody that I've met, and that's why I wanted to bring people on. I started doing stand-up more because we had the live show coming up, and I wanted to get comfortable in front of an audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is weird, is because I played in a band for seven years, and I was always up on stage.
Yeah, but you were behind an instrument.
I was behind an instrument. Stuff, but I also have done live podcasts before in front of an audience.
Yeah.
In front of, like, one of them was, like, a sold-out thing, like, at the Fire. Like, practically almost sold out. I'm like, what the fuck am I...
All 30 people.
All 30
people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, it was actually pretty well. Like the first one I ever did was
like 40, 50 people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And but I wanted to do it. But now I'm just like, fuck it. I want to just promote comedy and I want to bring people on and do that stuff because I feel it is podcasting to me, though it's been around for a while now. I think it's now more of a blossoming like kind of standard to get stuff out there.
Well, I think part of it too is smartphones.
Yeah.
Since more people use their phones as an MP3 player that is connected to the internet, they're more likely to like every now and then I'll go check out WTF and if there's a comic I heard of or one to hear about.
Mm-hmm. He's had some good guests on.
Yeah, well, Mel Brooks and stuff like
was
that.
Great.
I mean, it was hard listening to the Jonathan Winters episode because the audio was kind of crappy on it, and Jonathan is just kind of gone.
Yeah.
But the
Dave Grohl episode was awesome.
Yeah,
you should listen to it.
See, like, the thing is, I don't listen to it. They didn't mention my name, so I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I said that actually because there was the one episode I listened to was the Alex Grubart episode, and I think you mentioned me.
Yeah.
And it's another episode I was listening to, and somebody else mentioned to me. I was like, fucking, I still have yet to listen to a podcast that I'm not mentioned in.
Yeah.
I used to run a podcast, and I didn't even listen to the goddamn thing.
I don't listen to any of the episodes.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is...
I live it. Why would I promote it?
Well, I like about your podcast, though, is it's short. It's, what, 20 minutes, half hour?
Yeah, something like that.
That's perfect.
They've been running about 40.
Yeah, well, let's keep it to 30. But, like, this is...
a lot to end in 3 minutes.
Oh, really? Let's do 40. No movie? Fuck
it. Well, no, because...
Let's cut the break and do the movie. I don't want to talk about this shit no more. I want to fucking... I want to know what Phantom is.
All right. Well, no, normally when it comes to this stuff is we'll be like, all right, we'll do a really quick overview of the movie because... The podcast started off as talking about movie trailers, and then it just gets into conversations now. And it's really weird to think of, is if we ran one whole show, is we could do an hour and a half podcast, easy, of doing breaks and stuff like that. And
yeah, like, but I can't smoke during that.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we will take a break. You're going to be here for another episode anyway.
I'm going to be here for another episode, but real quick. You asked a bunch of really good questions about comedy, and I just want to say, you have the trailers. Let's fucking watch it.
Yeah.
Because I was on here because I was excited. I've been wondering what you're going to show me. And I want to know what the fuck Phantom is. It's got Ed Harris, David Duchovny. Who's William Fichtner?
You'll know when you see him.
What's the movie? Lonely Hearts? I don't know that movie.
I actually don't know that one either.
It's Todd Robinson. I guess it was an indie film.
Probably.
This whole thing's probably a fucking indie film. It's got David Duchovny in it. He's not box office gold anymore.
All right, so we'll be right back.
Can we watch it? Can we do it? Can we watch it and just do a quick 10-minute at the end?
Okay, son.
All right. Thanks, Dad.
We'll be right back.
I hate hockey.
Are you ready, quartet? All right, let's go. Drink to me, darling, not with thine eyes, but with past blue ribbon beer. 'Cause if you toast me with past blue ribbon, I'll know that your love's sincere.
The beer that is splendid is the beer that is blended from 33 fine brews. And if you serve me sparkling clear, perhaps your love, dear, I can't refuse.
You can serve it with cold cuts, it's sure to please. Serve it with a dab of tasty nippy cheese. Never food refreshing, it has no flaw. And anywhere they have the beer, the bottle is because
I've grown a million laps for a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
So we're back for Trailer Trash Podcast this week. We're watching Shut Up, Alex. All right. We're watching Phantom, starring Ed Harris, David Duchovny, William Fichtner, directed by Todd Robinson, who directed a movie no one here has ever heard of called Lonely Hearts. Alex, you can speak now.
All right. I want to apologize for asking, demanding that we actually watch that trailer.
Can I take it back now?
I really do, because I've seen that movie 100 times.
Yep.
It's another one where they're just like, all right, here's that movie. You got to make your submarine naval drama. What was the one with the one with Kelsey Grammer? They should have never made another submarine movie.
500 Days of Summer.
No, fucking. What's with you and Zoe Deschanel? You got a girlfriend. Stop pining for one. The comedy with the
McHale's Navy. That one.
No.
Down Periscope.
Down Periscope.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the best submarine movie of all time. Yeah. Never make another. Kelsey Grammer's finest work.
Yeah.
Finest, best, and it had the woman with the tight uniform. Made the Navy look sexy. Whatever her name was. Who gives a shit?
Zoe.
Not Zoe Deschanel. No, but all right. So Phantom is, it looks like it's a Soviet era bullshit movie. Probably where they're trying to make secret sonar so they can get close enough to nuke New York City because the Russians don't know where DC is. And Ed Harris is like, now you've given me no choice. Now I must have to take back. Get off my plane.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Fuck you. The whole movie. And David Duchovny. What's David Duchovny? He's not even Russian looking.
No.
Like Ed Harris, I'll give him Russian.
Yeah.
Ed Harris just looks like a dude who's been drinking vodka in the snow.
Yeah, they all look like everybody looks disheveled, and then they cut to David Duchovny and it's just pretty boy face. And
yeah,
like,
his hair looks good.
Yeah.
You're in a hot submarine. Your hair, like, just get it, like, get a missed him.
Also,
missed his face.
Can we end this? It's a trend of submarine movies in the first place, but can we end the idea that we can be firing guns inside of submarines willy-nilly all the time whenever we want?
Yeah.
How is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, and that explosion at the end of the trailer looks god-awful. Like, that was just thrown in.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah,
yeah, and, like, you know what? The CG in this looks about sci-fi TV about 2007.
Yeah.
Like,
even sci-fi TV movies look better than this.
Yeah, but you know what? They've never been able to figure out a good way of showing underwater stuff pretty well because they want to put a water filter on it. And it's like, pretend I'm a shark.
Plus, does anyone really know what something looks like exploding underwater?
I don't know.
It's got to be a little strange,
it
right?
It doesn't look that fucked.
James Cameron does. He does everything.
Yeah.
No, I wrote down, because that was going to the whole thing, as I was going to say, for the sci-fi TV, like, made-for-TV movie, is I wrote Battleship 2.
Yeah.
Knowing that they're not going to make, hopefully they won't make a Battleship 2. They probably will.
Yeah.
And we'll
did
talk
it make
about
money?
It.
Did Battleship 1 make money?
Yes.
I'm sure that
God damn it.
But I wrote Battleship
Things
2.
Things explode.
No, I will go see G.I. Joe 2.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go see G.I. Joe 2 because I feel like it's going to be just like Alien vs. Predator 2.
Oh.
Because I saw Alien vs. Predator 1. I was like, oh. And then they're like, Alien vs. Predator 2. I'm like, you figured it out. I was like, you got it.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know
got
what
it.
I want.
Oh, that was just an hour and a half setup for Predalien.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My nipples are popping. Same thing with Punisher Warzone. I feel like I'm the only person who likes Punisher Warzone.
No, I actually it's definitely a superior movie to the Punisher movie.
Yeah. No, I can apparently. Everyone's like, Thomas Drane was a part. No, he wasn't. He sucked dick.
Yeah.
And I've
totally
sucked
agree with
dick.
You.
I've sucked so many dicks. It's been like
I agree with you, though. Warzone
12,
is way. Yeah, yeah.
12 dicks.
About a dozen.
Suck 12
about
dicks.
About a dozen.
You know what? I don't know. We'll go with that. 12 dicks. I've sucked them.
Yeah.
But I've only been eating one puss for the last year. She cooks well. That's really demeaning.
I
love my girlfriend.
I think it's a good time to rate the movie.
Rate the movie?
Oh my god, yeah. What do you?
Because there's nothing about this.
All right,
show
I'll
me
tell
two
you,
bad
you know
trailers.
What? I'm gonna rate it this way. It's 3:00 in the morning. I'm too drunk to sleep because the world is spinning. I'm at my parents' house and they have all the premium channels. It's on and it's 10 minutes already into the movie. I can't find the remote to find out that this is in fact Ed Harris's Phantom. So I watch it because David Duchovny is in it, and this might actually be a Red Shoe Diaries episode, which I just explained to you guys what that means. For those of you who don't know who Red Shoe's Diary is, you're too young to own a gun. So I'd watch it. I would watch it under all of those circumstances. I have to be drunk. I have to have moved back home to my parents' house. I have to be alone. I have to be missing my dead dog. I have to be questioning my sexuality a lot. I have to be just sitting around. It has to be there for free. I will do no work for it. I do like Ed Harris, though. I think Ed Harris.
I like Ed Harris.
I like Ed Harris. Yeah. I like Ed Harris.
That's what I was going to say. It's like Ed Harris has to be all within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you put the movie on.
I have to turn it on. I have to see Ed Harris. But then when he's like, I have to take back my ship, I'm going to yell drunkenly, get off my plane, because that, you know, that's coming at about the 1 hour, 10 minute spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's the apex of the movie, and now he and his crew of battle-hardened besties, friends, Soviet drunks, are going to just take back the ship. Oh, what are we doing? I'm a drunken, battle-hardened Soviet. I was born in a gulag, but I still love Mother Russia because of this, but the old Russia. I was raised under Stalin. Who is Khrushchev or whatever came in? Brezhnev. I like politics.
Yeah. Garrett, how are you going
to I like, real quick, I like looking at how I just spiked the board over the last.
It's so good.
I know. I want to apologize to everyone's ears.
Yeah.
But that's my rating.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. You know what? And I bet it's going to be on Stars, too, because fuck you.
Yeah.
That's why it'll be on Stars. Not even Cinemax. No, you know what? Showtime probably take it. It's David Duchovny. He's in Californication.
Yeah. There you go.
Did Red Shoe Diaries. Yeah. No, this is a Stars. Show. This is going to be on Showtime after the Tudors rerun.
Tudors. This is going to be a 4-joint movie for me. I'm going to need to smoke 4 joints before I see this movie. It's the only way I can get inside another submarine.
But watch Down Periscope. Yeah, you don't even need to be high for that. The movie's hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
It's got Harlan Williams in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's got it has Artie, the most strongest man in the world.
Yes,
he shocks himself.
Yeah.
I love that guy. That guy's my favorite actor in everything. Great.
Speaking of Artie, did you see the...
I did not see what you were about to say.
The Pete and Pete reunion thing?
I heard about it.
On, was it Funny or Die?
College Humor, Funny or Die.
Oh, no, I didn't actually see that.
It's
amazing. Yeah, after we record everything, can we watch it?
Yeah, we can watch it real fast.
Yeah. Dude, I'm just so happy how well the dive bar show went on Friday. I gotta say, it was so much fun.
How can people find you on... Oh, I'm not gonna see this in theaters, nor will I watch it on Showtime. This movie will never exist in my knowledge of film, knowing that I just watched that trailer.
Yeah. Oh, it just looks bad. It
it doesn't look good.
I mean, it's just... I mean,
so
far...
We haven't done a really good movie in a while.
No, you've really... I mean, so far, my last episode was Jack the Giant Slayer. This one was Phantom. And the next one... I already fucking hate you. Looking at that, I wish you hadn't told me.
I'm not even going to actually, for that last episode, don't even say what it is.
I'm not going to.
I think we talked about it already, and if they don't remember it, whoever...
No, we didn't. We never actually said it.
No, all right, I'm not even going to put it up. I'm just going to put... Episode 35, or whatever it is. Yeah, episode 35, Alex Perlman, and I'm not even going to say what the movie is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to let them know.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't, because...
Secrets.
Yeah. Because if you want to see this movie, I want you dead, and I don't ever want you to vote.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's the next movie we're going to cover. Don't vote if you like this movie.
Alex, how can people find you on the internet?
At Alex Perlman on Twitter. Alex Perlman, all one word. And on YouTube, just type in Alex Perlman. I'll show up eventually. And then on, that's it. I have a Tumblr, but I don't really update it. It's called Alex Perlman's Dream Machine.
Garrett?
Yeah, you just sighed. You looked at me and just sighed. Because I have a Tumblr? Because I like skinny jeans? Because I, what?
I have a Tumblr too. Our podcast is a Tumblr.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Sucks. Tumblr's garbage.
It is.
It's the worst thing. I hated Twitter, but
I got
link
it there because it actually gives a different when I hashtag on there, people can reblog that, which is nice for us.
Oh, that's cool.
So I mean, they can do it off our website too, but
no, I just don't like people who regularly use Tumblr.
Oh, no, I it just automatically goes there.
No,
it's
just
another form.
Tumblr's just a giant circle jerk of fucking bullshit.
It's Twitter with pictures.
Well, yeah, they just
it's the Instagram of the internet where you can actually go and manipulate stuff. Garrett,
I'm on Twitter at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
With an F, not
That's
a
right.
PH.
Right.
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Bauer, B-A-U-R-E-R, not B-O-W-E-R. You can find us at Trailer Trash Pod, minus E. No E, no Ewoks. No Ewoks in the new Star Wars movies. You can go to our website, check that out. We'll be back Monday or Tuesday.
Tuesday.
With another, or tomorrow, with another episode with Alex Perlman.
Hey, real quick spoiler about Django, since you haven't seen it. They say niggers a lot.
This has been a Trailer Trash Podcast. Produced by Mike Bauer and Garrett Smith. Special thanks to FokuPhilly.com.
Hey, yo, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming out. Hey, yo, Father Garrity, rest in peace, man. Yo, Mitch, give that wife the dick all day.